Madame F. and her husband were good sorts. The rent of the rooms varied between 30 and 50 francs a week. The lodgers were a floating population, largely foreigners, who used to turn up without luggage, stay a week, and then disappear again. They were of every trade: cobblers, bricklayers, stonemasons, navvies, students, prostitutes, rag pickers. Some of them were fantastically poor. In one of the attics there was a Bulgarian student who made fancy shoes for the American market. From 6 to 12 he sat on his bed, making a dozen pair of shoes and earning 35 francs. The rest of the day he attended lectures at the Sorbonne. He was studying for the church, and books of theology lay face down on his leather-strewn floor. In another room lived a Russian woman and her son, who called himself an artist. The mother worked 16 hours a day, darning socks at 25 centimes a sock, while the son, decently dressed, loafed in the Montparnasse cafes. One room was let to two different lodgers, one a day worker and the other a night worker. In another room, a widower shared the same bed with his two grown-up daughters, both consumptive. There were eccentric characters in the hotel. The Paris slums are a gathering place for eccentric people. People who have fallen into solitary, half-mad grooves of life and given up trying to be normal or decent. Poverty frees them from ordinary standards of behaviour, just as money frees people from work. Some of the lodgers in our hotel lived lives that were curious beyond words. There were the Rougiers, for instance, an old, ragged, dwarfish couple who plied an extraordinary trade. They used to sell postcards on the Boulevard Saint-Michel. The curious thing was that the postcards were sold in sealed packets as pornographic ones, but were actually photographs of chateaus on the Loire. The buyers did not discover this till too late, and of course never complained. The Rougiers earned about 100 francs a week, and by strict economy managed to be always half-starved and half-drunk. The filth of their room was such that one could smell it on the floor below. According to Madame F., neither of the Rougiers had taken off their clothes for 4 years. Or there was Henri, who worked in the sewers. He was a tall, melancholy man with curly hair, rather romantic-looking in his long sewer-man's boots. Henri's peculiarity was that he did not speak, except for the purposes of work, literally for days together. Only a year before he had been a chauffeur in good employ and saving money. One day he fell in love, and when the girl refused him, he lost his temper and kicked her. On being kicked, the girl fell desperately in love with Henri, and for a fortnight they lived together, and spent 1,000 francs of Henri's money. Then the girl was unfaithful. Henri planted a knife in her upper arm, and was sent to prison for 6 months. As soon as she had been stabbed, the girl fell more in love with Henri than ever, and the two made up their quarrel and agreed that when Henri came out of jail, he should buy a taxi and they would marry and settle down. But a fortnight later the girl was unfaithful again, and when Henri came out, she was with child. Henri did not stab her again. He drew out all his savings and went on a drinking bout that ended in another month's imprisonment. After that he went to work in the sewers. Nothing would induce Henri to talk. If you asked him why he worked in the sewers, he never answered, but simply crossed his wrists to signify handcuffs and jerked his head southward towards the prison. Bad luck seemed to have turned him half-witted in a single day. Or there was R., an Englishman who lived 6 months of the year in Putney with his parents and 6 months in France. During his time in France, he drank 4 litres of wine a day, and 6 litres on Saturdays. He had once travelled as far as the Azores, because the wine there is cheaper than anywhere in Europe. He was a gentle, domesticated creature, never rowdy or quarrelsome, and never sober. He would lie in bed till midday, and from then till midnight he was in his corner of the bistro, quietly and methodically soaking. While he soaked, he talked, in a refined, womanish voice, about antique furniture. Except myself, R. was the only Englishman in the quarter. There were plenty of other people who lived lives just as eccentric as these. Monsieur Jules, the Romanian, who had a glass eye and would not...